When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Forum, the show where we learn more about Husker Nation one fan at a time by asking the same four questions. I'm Eros Honke, and tonight our guest comes from the Centennial State. He is a stand-up comedian as well as the Keith County Fair Combine Demolition Derby announcer. Most important, he's a Husker fan. Welcome to the Forum, John Spurgfin.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Honke. Excited to be here. Excited to do this. I love the podcast. I listen to it all the time, so it's fun to get to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're winding down the off season of forums, but you emailed us about a month or so back with a really great story, and we wanted to try and fit you in here before we get to kickoff. I thought it was really interesting. I wanted to read it. This is part of the email you sent. You go, these are moments that are burned into my psyche, as I'll never forget where I was moments for me as well. Where I was not at the stadium or a fancy watch party. I was in a cornfield actually harvesting corn. It got me thinking, what a great fan perspective. I mean, what is more pure than rooting for the Huskers while actually husking corn? You know, I think that that's kind of a different perspective than we've heard from other people, and I very appropriate here. So I'm interested to get into that conversation. You also mentioned in the email that you created the greatest Nebraska t-shirt ever designed. I'm going to show it here, but tell us a little bit about this, this shirt here.
Yeah, I mean, I was driving in Western Nebraska, and I was just driving past Chimney Rock, and it's a cool formation. If you haven't been there, check out the Panhandle of Nebraska, you know, the Pine Ridge all the way up into the Black Hills. It's a great area, and I love driving through there. But I was just driving by, and I saw it, and it just one of those things that, I don't know, I just thought of it. I was like, that's pretty funny. I was like, that would make a good t-shirt. And then, like, I would think about it every once in a while, or I'd be driving past about, and I would think about it. And then after about 4 years, I just decided to get 50 of them printed up. And so I printed up 50 and I put them on Facebook, and they sold pretty fast. So it was, I don't know, just kind of a fun thing to do. It's what a great t-shirt, right?
Yeah. Anyone that's listening to the show tomorrow, if you can't see it, it's a state of Nebraska with Chimney Rock out, of course, in the corner of it. And it goes, is that Chimney Rock, or is Nebraska just happy to see me or see you? And yeah, I think it's hilarious. How can people get one? I guess, number one, if they see this shirt and they want to get one, how would they do it?
So I'm planning on getting another order in here soon. So you can just email me at Spurgfin, Spurgfin. @gmail.com.
All right. Well, cool. Redcasters, it's a great shirt. Get, you know, shoot an email to him, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what happened is, you know, it's just this big, and if you don't know what Chimney Rock is, I'm sure pretty much all the listeners do, but you know, there are some from, you know, even out of the country I've heard. So Chimney Rock is this big phallic looking monument out in the middle of Western Nebraska, and it's right along the Oregon Trail. So it was a marker on the Oregon Trail for, you know, people headed out that way. And you can, it's named Chimney Rock. So you can imagine it's, you know, basically a chimney looking thing coming out of the plains of Nebraska. And I just kind of thought, is that Chimney Rock, or is Nebraska just happy to see you?
There you go. Well, while we're doing promos here, I guess I finish off ours. We have Alumni Hall, two Lincoln locations, downtown 1120 P Street, South Point Pavilions behind Barnes & Noble. Next up, Pipeline Jerky. You can go to pipeline-jerky.com. Code REDCAST officially gets you 10% off, and all that money We're talking NIL. This goes to rebuilding that pipeline, and let's get the offensive line back to where we were back in those glory years. One NIL purchase at a time. The new yes. Redcast store, it's not even new anymore. I guess I should probably update that graphic. But on the graphic is the QR code. If you're listening to this, you can go to our social media pages, and the link is in our description. But Smack and Smooch, Shane and Laura out there in Elwood, quality apparel, custom-made orders. I just got some more shirts from them in there. Now, actually, I want to show this. I'm gonna go out of here. They just created the new Drink the Roulade koozies. They also, I think, have some shirts of that. And, of course, that's Rob, Redcast Rob, drinking the Kool-Aid, but Drink the Roulade. So you can find that on our store as well. And then last but not least, you're out there in Colorado. This is the Battle in Boulder. I'm not sure if it's sold out yet. I'm just still showing it because no one's told me to stop doing it. But it's up at Estes Park the night before the game in Boulder, so Friday, September 8th. If there are tickets still, try to get them. You can go to Big Red of the Rockies website. And Tommy Frazier, who we had on a couple weeks ago, he'll be there. Adam Carricker. It should be a great evening. It should just be a fun event and a great opportunity for Husker fans to get together there the night before the game. So, and tell me a little bit, before we were talking at the beginning, we were hearing some bangs and booms in the background. You're like next to like a golf simulator or something. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I'm outside a closed coffee shop I frequent this place all the time. So, and they've told me before, if you ever need to work, we'd leave the Wi-Fi on. So just sit out on the deck. And right next door is basically a golf simulator. That sounds like a little harsh for golf, but I suppose it's just the ball hitting against the wall or something like that.
Yeah. Hey.
So I apologize. I didn't think about the background noise. I really thought it was going to be a pretty quiet place because I know the coffee shop is closed.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things I was telling you too. I can't always tell in my earphones, I can pick up everything, but I've done a show where, you know, I heard all these noises around and then I go and I re-listen to it and the microphones don't pick it up as bad. So you never know. I guess Redcasters, whoever's watching right now, you know, if you're hearing anything in the background, let us know, but not that we can change it anyways. But let's get ahead. Let's get started with the forum. And what is the forum? It's the same four questions. Why are you a Husker fan? What is your favorite Husker fan memory? Who are your all-time favorite Huskers? And how do you think the Huskers will do this year? So let's start off, John Spurgeon, with the first question. Why are you a Husker fan?
Well, I mean, I was born into it. So I was born in Western Nebraska. So, I mean, you definitely have exposure there. You definitely have the ability to get into it. But I think what really made it stick for me is, you know, just through the 80s and 90s, I went to college in Lincoln in the 90s, and it was just the excellence of the team that, you know, that they played with and how good they were. And it was kind of like they set the standard that you really wanted to, like, emulate in my own life, you know. It was kind of like, you know, I want to operate at a high level like they were. So you kind of become a fan because you like the way they do things. And then their success gives you a sense of inspiration too on just, you know, trying to be the best you can be as well. So, and I think you see it, like, you know, I heard Coach Rhule even say, like, he wants to be the coach for the state of Nebraska. And I think that's kind of what he's talking about, is the hardworking, you know, the work ethic, humble, you know, put your time in. And I think that's what draws a lot of people to, you know, be fans of it, is it's a team that is doing things the way you want to do it in your personal life. And, you know, it's a kind of a representation of it. And I think it's why our fans are so great too, you know, and that honestly attracts more fans, is, you know, being humble and, you know, polite, but also hardworking and wanting to go out there and really competitive, and you want to win too. So,
yeah, well, hardworking, like you said, you know, you listen to games of the Cornhuskers playing while you're out there husking corn and working in the field. I mean, that's a great story by itself. You mentioned Western Nebraska, where you're from. We've had Redcast Amy on the show before, and I've known her since college years. She's from Hemingford, and so way up there by Alliance. And it would always annoy her when somebody would say, I'm from Western Nebraska, and they'd say, like, Grand Island. She's like, that's not Western Nebraska. So when you say Western Nebraska, obviously you you know, you're a combine demolition derby announcer in Keith County out there in Ogallala. Where are you from in Western Nebraska?
So I grew up on a farm outside of in between Paxton and Sutherland, Nebraska.
Ooh.
So in between North Platte and Ogallala. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So,
Oles.
Oles, that was my picture's on the wall in Oles. Hmm. We're 1995 Class D1 state champion basketball team.
Oh, outstanding. Next time I'm there, I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, it's good enough. Like our state championship photos back by the pool tables is where it was last time I was there. So,
And as far as like the parents or the family goes, I mean, was it a grandparent? Was it a dad? Who got you kind of started on the Huskers?
Yeah, my dad was a big Husker fan, and it was a little bit, you know, it was one of those things. So my older brother, like, because I heard you tell the story about crying. I think it was you telling the story about crying after the 83 championship game. And so I don't honestly remember that one because I would have been, you know, six at the time. But my older brother, he cried during that, like after that game. He kind of has the similar story as you. Mm-hmm. But it was, and then kind of going through, once you got into high school, you know, just playing sports, you were really busy. So it wasn't as much, you know, listening to him. Like my dad was a big Husker fan. And my, you know, both like my grandparents were, and just kind of everyone around us. It was like, it's kind of something you would talk about. Just, you know, you talked about the weather, you talked about the Huskers. And so really when I went to college that, you know, I really kind of like, it got really deep seated in there as far as being a fan. My college era was the reason it really stuck. And, you know, it's 30 years later or however many years later now, and I probably pay way close of attention to it.
Yeah, no, that's I'm in the same boat with you, same age, where, you know, mid 90s and late 90s, that's when down there at UNL, what a great time to be down there. We watched one home loss in 5 years of being at school there. My first year, my memories is 1983
Texas.
And the kickoff classic against Penn State in 1983. And I, you know, every game since I pretty much have kind of remembered and watched and that's kind of led to where I am. Well, I think that's given me a lot of great fan memories. That leads to number two here. Question two, what is your favorite Husker fan memory?
So I do want to talk about like my greatest fan memories, but you kind of brought up the, so I'll just throw this out there because it's kind of relevant. Now, the first game I ever went to was in 1986 in Boulder, Colorado.
Frustrating
game that we lost.
20-10.
So my memories of that game are literally holding a balloon for almost the whole first half. And then we finally kick a field goal. And I look at my dad and I'm like, can I let go of the balloon now? Like, I wasn't for sure. I was expecting a touchdown. And then after the game, some CU fans were kind of like taunting, you know, were taunting, you know, us, and I remember thinking like, we're just little kids. Like, why are you yelling at me? So that was the first game I went to. Cause where I grew up, Boulder was closer than Lincoln was. So
sure.
I thought it was a good idea. I got my first jersey. I wore my red suspenders, which I mean, that's a good look as a little 9-year-old with and red suspenders on. So, but I guess I was didn't work though. I guess they weren't my lucky suspenders.
That's
first fan memory.
That's incredible. That game, because I was 9 years old when that game went on, and we had only in my lifetime, if we lost to anybody in the conference, other than when I was one, we did lose to Missouri. But other than that, it was only Oklahoma. We beat everybody else. And I can remember Dave and I on this show have talked about that game. Because it wasn't on TV. I remember listening to it on the radio as I'm shooting hoops in the driveway. And I just couldn't believe that we were losing to someone not named Oklahoma in the conference. It just, when the loss happened at the end of the game, I mean, I was without words. I was like, what just happened? How did we lose to somebody? How did we lose the Buffaloes? And I've had, unfortunately, two other kind of rough endings at a game there. We were there in 2019, and then we were there the 2001 debacle that kind of started the downfall for the Huskers.
Ooh. Yeah, that was a rough one. Yeah, that was my first game, and I was the same way, where you're not expecting it. And so it was kind of like this letdown, and I just remember just being so tired of holding on to that balloon in the stands. Because you're so excited about getting to be a part of letting the balloons go. You know, you see it on TV and you hear about it on the radio. But so that was my first fan memory. Well, I wanted to talk about the fan memories of listening to games on the radio while you're out in the cornfield harvesting corn. It's two things that I really like. I do like harvesting corn is a fun process. It's a fun operation. And obviously, I love the Huskers. So, and it's kind of like I said, you know, when there's something pure about rooting for the Huskers while you're out there in the harvest field, you know, the machine, but you're literally harvesting corn, you know, you're running the machine and harvesting corn. And one story is the Hail Mary against Northwestern, and we're out there harvesting, and us we kind of rotate through. Somebody drives the combine, somebody drives the grain cart, and somebody drives the trucks. And we have two trucks, and one of them has a radio that works and the other one doesn't have a radio that works. So I'll drive, you know, one to the from the field and come back, and then get another one, drive it to the distribution center, empty it, and come back. So every other truck ride, I don't have radio to listen to. And it just happens that the end of the Northwestern game, I'm getting, you know, probably maybe 5 minutes left in the game, I'm getting back to the field in the truck that has a radio. So now I have to jump into the truck. So it's radio silence for me, and I'm driving down, and it probably takes 10-15 minutes to get to the elevator, and you stop on the scale, you go into the scale house, and then the girls in the scale house, they have the game going, so you get a little bit of an update there, and then you drive the truck up, empty it, and then you drive back, you get another update when you're at the scale house weighing empty, and then it's radio silence back to the field. So it's the end of the Northwestern game. I have to get in the truck that doesn't have a radio. So it's radio silence. I get to the scale house and, you know, I kind of go, you know, what's the update? How's it looking? And they're like, you know, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And I'm like, well, you know, dang. So I go up where we're unloading and there's somebody that works up there to load the truck. And this guy, his name was Steve this night. And I'm sitting there talking to Steve and I kind of give him the update. And we're not supposed to do this because you're supposed to be paying attention to what you're doing. And he's like, hey, you want to go hear how it's going? Yeah, there was a pickup by that had a radio. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. So we kind of abandon the post and we go and get in the pickup and he turns the key on and the radio comes on as they are snapping the ball for the last play, Hail Mary. So we don't have any real context of where the game's at this point. Don't know that this is the last play of the game. Just hear the NASA say, you know, the ball has been snapped. And then, you know, that play happens and you're just kind of sitting there like dumbfounded. We're looking at each other. So did we just win at the end of the game? Like, we don't know what's going on. Like there's been, have no perspective on it because, you know, it was literally the, and then it was like, we finally figured out that we'd game. And right then you could see that the truck was finished. So we kind of shut the radio off and got out and went on our merry way working. But it was just kind of like this surreal moment where we just went to the truck and turned it on right for the last play, like the only play that mattered, and then turned it off and had to continue on working. So I don't know. It was kind of, it's kind of fun, and there's a lot of camaraderie between, you know, the people working, the people at the scale house, other people in the cornfields, because everybody's listening to the game, but you're still trying to work and get stuff done. So I think it's kind of crazy to think about, like, all the fans scattered all throughout Nebraska on Saturdays during the fall that, you know, they just have to get work done because, you know, that's, it's harvest time. You have to get it out when you can. So the other one that was a crazy, crazy kick, and I remember it, and I actually, this is, I got an Alex Henry jersey on right now. You know, his kick against Colorado to win the game, the 57-yarder, was an incredible thing to listen to on the radio. Because the other thing about the radio is so much more happens in your imagination. You're not watching it. And I feel like there's these emotional swings just throughout a play as you hear the radio announcer. You get these crazy emotional swings not being able to see it. So that Colorado game, I mean, you know, everybody probably remembers it. It gets down end and we get sacked to take us kind of out of field goal range, you know, 4th and 25, and the announcers at the time were talking about trying to go for it on 4th and 25 because we're out of field goal range, and then they cut to commercial. And I'm actually in the guard at this time, which is place to be for the game because the least amount of responsibilities. There's always a radio that works. And for the most part, you're just sitting there listening, you know, to the game. The only time that, you know, you really have to pay attention to what's happening is when the combine comes by and you pull it and loads on you while you're, you know, the combine, the wheels never stop on that. You can get as much harvest done as possible. So they cut to commercial, right? And they're coming back from commercial right as the combine's coming up. And my dad's in the combine. And I'm thinking in my head, like, surely we're not going to unload right now. We're going to sit here and listen to this play. This is the ball game right here. And the way the sun is in the sky, I can't really see him. So I'm trying to look and, like, signal, like, is he going to tell me, like, hey, let's just stop or no? But he keeps going. So I'm like, okay, here we go. We're done. And obviously Alex Henry, you know, kicks it and makes it. And I'm just losing my stuff. In the middle, and I just about drive into the combine just because, like, I'm going nuts and I'm still trying to look over there. So finally we get done and I can't figure out, the combine just keeps going. And so I call my dad and I'm like, are you listening to this game? And he's like, no, I shut it off. I'm listening to the machine. Because, and that's how dedicated he was to farming, is he wouldn't listen to any of the radios while he was running the combine. Oh man, the discipline of you to not be listening to the game right now. And we had it recorded and we were planning on watching it later, so he didn't really feel like he was missing out. But I remember being on the phone just thinking, I don't want to ruin it for you, but I guess we'll enjoy it later. And then just being out there in the middle of the field celebrating by myself.
Yeah. Well, Alex Henry is one of the great Huskers. Certainly that was a great kick. Let's get to question number three. Who are some of your other all-time favorite Huskers?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about this. Like, the one name that really sticks out is Mike Brown. He was so good on defense. And, you know, even you saw what he did in the pros where he won multiple games by scoring touchdowns from a defensive or special teams place. For the Bears, at the 1990 Fiesta Bowl against Tennessee, and they had T. Martin, and they were kind of billing that game, and we really just kind of dominated, and it was trading for the Tennessee fans. We had a couple Tennessee fans right behind us, and there was one play where this Tennessee receiver broke open, and it was right before half, and, like, you know, streaking down the sidelines, and they throw it to him, and that old Tennessee guy behind me was going, oh, there he is, there he is, there he is, because it looked like it was going to be easy score. And then out of nowhere, Mike Brown appears and intercepts the ball, and I'm kind of like a little bit of a smart Alex, so I said to my friends, there he is. And that was my favorite memory of Mike. Really, I think the defense runs the runs the day on a lot of my favorite players. And I want to mention, like, just Lavonte David and Ndamukong Suh, the way they could take over games and change games from the defensive side. I remember at the time thinking, enjoy this, cherish this, because we're seeing something special right now. And really the same goes with Amir Abdullah, who I would put on that list too. He was – I remember thinking, like, okay, enjoy this. The way he ran was incredible. And just the story of, like, he was in a recruiting class with 2 4-star running backs. He was a 3-star guy, and he's the one that ended up kind of making it. So just kind of that hard work and dedication. And I'm going to throw Cam Taylor-Britt out there too. I really enjoyed watching some of those seasons, even though they were frustrating. But, you know, that greatest 3-9 season ever. Our defense was really good that year. And him and JoJo Doman were a part of it. And I remember seeing in an interview, you know, they were asking him, like, does it get frustrated? Are you getting frustrated with the offense and that sort of thing? And Cam Taylor-Britt was like, look, I get to go out and play football every Saturday, the sport I love, and I get to go against the best receiver in college football week in and week out. And it was just a good perspective to have, to like, I'm not mad at the offense at all. I'm happy to have the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, those are all great players. I take every single one of them right now. Well, I take them all for this season, and I think that's a good segue into number 4, which is, how do you think the Huskers will do this year? Obviously, there's a lot of change going on. We are now about 2 weeks halfway through, actually mostly through fall camp, but halfway through the August practices leading up to 8/31, as the coaching staff calls it, the game against Minnesota in 2 weeks on Thursday night. Tonight, right before this show, they released a look in part 2. So after you get done watching this, watch that if you haven't already. And it's a great breakdown of the second week of practice by the Husker Vision staff and everything. Just a great kind of behind the scenes look at what's going on, practices and meetings. The team went down to Funplex in Omaha last week and had a day off to have some fun there. So just a lot of good things that was shown this week. They also talked about some of the walk-ons like Bullock and Borkircher that are getting scholarships this year. So a really good one. That's a look in. That's on YouTube, and check that out, Redcasters. But John, what are your thoughts here going into year one of the Rule era?
I mean, I think we're going to be good. I've been drinking the Kool-Aid, and to say how good, I could see 9, 10, 11 wins if that. Because here's the thing. You know, they say that there's an adult room. Well, we should be clear here that that adult is not me, you know. So I'm under no obligation to temper my expectations at all. So I think we're going to be good. And I think the schedule sets up really well to do that.
There's going to be a couple games on the schedule that are obviously going to be hard ones to get. Michigan being one of them, at Wisconsin. That's been a kind of a bugaboo place for us. But really, a lot of the teams we played have been a bugaboo the last few years, especially in the West. We've not had a lot of success against the West teams. But I think it was College Football Home on Twitter tonight. They do previews of every team across FBS, and they did Nebraska's tonight, and they had us at 5-7 and losing to Purdue. So that was I guess that would be one of those make-or-break games. I've said all along, all offseason, I think it's the race to 6, and I think getting to 6 is really important, whether it takes us 6 weeks or 12 weeks. But we've got to get to 6 wins, because we need to get back into the bowl games, and we need to reset that expectation. I don't put ceilings on the program, so when you said 9, 10, 11, I'm not going to say no. I want to see good football, and they talked about that today in that a look-in, the week 2 of practice there for fall camp. Coach Rule talking to the team about finishing games and putting them in situations like having a minute 15 left. You're down by 6, and he's talking to an offensive captain, a defensive captain, and says, hey, there's minute 15 left, and then we're at the 35-yard line. Go out there and defense, make a stop. Offense, make a play. Let's not let the game be too big. Let's make practice hard, and if you can do it in practice, then you can do it when you get to the game.
That's right. And I think, like, 5-7 just seems so pessimistic. Think about all the close games we've been in. It's not a total rebuild. Our players are good and our players want to. I think that's one big difference between what Matt Rhule inherited at Nebraska and what he inherited Temple is he didn't seem that want to win. You know, they never gave up last year. They never gave up 2 years ago in any game or in any season. They just kept coming back and competing, and the effort was there. It feels like it's kind of one of those, you know, situations where there's talent on the team and they just kind of lost their way. You know, if you think about like a talented individual that loses their way and is just drinking too much and that sort of thing, they just need to sober up a little bit and get some focus. And I think Rhule's going to be able to do that for them. Obviously, it's different situations, but I just think the players are there. It's not a total rebuild. And if we're just a little bit better, if we're marginally better, then we win a lot more games.
Like to your point about the first year thing at Baylor and stuff, and the first year at Temple, especially for those people that say, hey, you know, they went 1-11 or 1-10, 2-10. Boy, those same people, they don't understand trend lines. You know, if you take a team from 1-10 and you leave them 10-1, yeah, you know, over the course of 3 years, you're going to be a 500 coach, but you're leaving a program that much better than what you took over. The goal here, obviously, we all hope, and I know Coach Rhule has talked about this not feeling like year one to him. This feels like a year two to him, that they've already last year kind of went through that year one, really with some of the tutelage, I guess you'd say, under Bill Bush and under Coach Joseph a year ago, starting to make some of the, you know, the right changes on the field. If that's the case, I mean, I think 6-7 wins, I think even Coach Rhule is thinking that in his head minimum. I mean, I think he's thinking this feels like a year two. And his year twos have been in that 6-7 kind of win thing. Again, we're not putting ceilings on it, because if you start getting some wins, if you start getting some momentum, if they can win an early game, who knows? Who knows what can happen?
I just have a hard time thinking that it's going to be less than 6. I feel like 6 is the floor this season. You know, when the ball, like the pendulum will start to swing back the other way, the ball will start, you know, you'll start getting those bounces, all the bounces that you weren't getting. You know, I think Rhule said that at a press conference recently, that the last time that our team has had a positive turnover was Riley's second year when they went 9-4. Eventually, the ball is going to start bouncing your way, and it does that if you put the work in, and I think they're putting the work in now.
Well, and like you said, the pendulum, the ball bouncing a certain way, part of that is preparation. And when you prepare well, and, you know, the ball isn't always going to go your way. And we've had enough bad breaks and bad bounces, but we've also just, one of the things that we've had is mistakes. And we've made so many mistakes over the last 4 or 5 years. It has undone a lot of the great effort that I think I've seen at times. I think we've played with good effort, like you said earlier. I think we've had good talent. Look at Palmer. Gosh, I was thinking Bryant in my head. Trey Palmer from last year doesn't get drafted at all, which has been a problem for Nebraska, because when you don't do well, guys don't get drafted. But we've had a number of guys that don't get drafted, get their chance, go on as a free agent somewhere, and there they are making the team and they're playing. Divine Zigbo is still playing right now. And we've had guys that have gone out there and shown well. There's talent and the effort, but it's the mistakes. We got to cut the mistakes. And that's what I think Coach Rhule is all about. There's the adult in the room. We're gonna cut the mistakes. We're not gonna allow them to happen in practice. And if you cut them in practice, you're gonna hopefully cut them in the games.
You're exactly right. Cutting out the mistake and, you know, just getting it up. And well, that's what they say. Early season wins games is not making mistakes. And the way the schedule sets up too is, works out well for us. We get Minnesota first, and that's a team I would rather play early than late. They had a lot of turnover on their offense, new running back, new quarterback, you know, new offensive coordinators. So they've got some turnover, and we get them first. I think that's a good spot to get Minnesota.
I agree, and get a win there. If they get a win there, that's the big if. If we get a win there, I think people start to look at those next three games and you know, if you can beat Minnesota on the road, you should be able to beat Colorado on the road. You should be able to win at North, you know, at home against Northern Illinois, win at home against La Tech. We should be 4-0 when Michigan gets here. That's the mentality that I think people have. It's about, that's how important that first game is. Now, the reality is anybody that, you know, if you've ever coached or any, you know, played the game, the reality is if we beat Minnesota, if we do, the immediate focus has to go to Colorado, and don't, you know, you don't look past anyone. Nebraska, no matter what, is not good enough right now to be looking past any one of those first four teams. Take them one at a time and everything. But that Minnesota game, it changes the trajectory of a lot of things. If we can get through that first one, my goodness, the sky all of a sudden kind of looks like the limit, and you're already 1-0 in the West after that game.
Yeah. And that Colorado game, it scares me because I'm out here in Colorado, and I tell you what, done really well this offseason as well as far as their performance. Now, I don't think they could ever compete with Nebraska for any offseason national championships, but I feel like they won the offseason NIT tournament the way the Colorado fans have been latching on to Deion Sanders. And he's an elite individual. Like he's been successful wherever he's gone. He happens to be one of those individuals that is kind of cocky, but if anybody's going to do it, it's you got to give it to Deion. Like he's been able to back it up. You know, it that annoys me a lot less than somebody who's can't back it up. So I don't know how he's going to do at Colorado, but that makes you nervous.
Yeah, he's going to try something different from what they've been trying to do before, and so you got to give them credit for that. He certainly has brought some enthusiasm there. You see it with their spring game attendance versus just the year prior. So there's definitely, I have no doubt that he's already been successful in that sense of just getting, Buffalo Nation kind of getting behind him. All that said, we're going to the first two games the Redcast are. We have 10 seats that we purchased just like a month ago, right in the middle of Minnesota section. We bought Minnesota seats. And we're going to be wearing red, and that's right in the middle of a game where they want to say it's a gold out. They've been telling their fans it's a gold out. And I can tell you at least 10 Yahoos are going to be standing right in the middle of it wearing red. And we've got our tickets already to Colorado, and that's the home opener of Deion. And with all the excitement and the 50,000 people they had in that spring game, I can tell you all of us that are coming from the Redcast are sitting in Colorado seats. We didn't buy a single Nebraska seat. We're all in Colorado sections. And I know we're not alone. I've heard from so many other fans already who have said the same thing. And I don't know what that means towards Minnesota and Colorado in terms of their fan bases, excitement levels right now. I just know that Nebraska fans just can't be beat. They're going to show up no matter what. And the more times that the opponents say, "Hey, don't sell your tickets. Don't do this. If you sell your tickets, we're going to put you on a list or whatever." Doesn't matter. Every single time we find a way to get in there, and I can't wait. I cannot wait for those two games, and it's going to be fun to start the season on the road.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about Husker fans is there's a dollar amount where other fans. I mean, you saw it at Notre Dame back in 2001 or 2002 or whatever, but there's a dollar amount there that they suddenly think they're just being smart to get rid of their ticket and put some money in their pocket. And in their mind they are, but that dollar amount is so much higher for Nebraska fans. So they think they're getting we think we're getting a good deal too. We're probably overpaying, but to be able to get a photo op like you had, you know, in South Bend or Colorado a couple years ago, you know, Husker fans are a lot more excited to spend their money on that. So I just don't think they're going to be able to keep us out. It probably won't be as many as a couple years ago with the whole Deion thing, but there's still going to be a lot.
You know, Husker fans want to support this program so much. And they also want to be there when it turns. I mean, when this turns for the positive, everyone wants to say they were there at that moment. I've been to so many countless games the last 5-6 years with that mentality in mind. Oh, we're going to this game because this, when we win this game, man, this is, we're back on a national stage. And every time we've gone to those games, at least in these last five, the recent history, it's almost always blown up on us. And that's, and so some people kind of, they go into a shell and they, you know, I don't want to go to games anymore. I don't want to do that. I'm not that guy. I just still want to be there. I think that Rhule can be the guy. I think Rhule is absolutely well positioned to be the guy that can get us over that hump. And I absolutely want to be there for that game. When I'm going to the Minnesota game with the mindset that we're going to come back with a victory. Can we lose? Absolutely. We can lose. The only thing I'd be really devastated about right away with Minnesota is if we got pushed around, if they physically, you know, ran 7-8 yards on us like they've done in the past, that would be a real issue I'd have. I'd have an issue with that right away because I feel like they've done the right thing strength and conditioning wise. They've certainly been physical in camp. They've said all the right things about wanting to be physical. If we lose to Minnesota, that's one thing. I mean, that's not the end of the season. But if we get pushed around right away in week one, that would be the only thing that I think would really disappoint me.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think in general, getting Minnesota first game, it's the best spot to get them because of all the turnover that is happening, like on their offensive side. And if you remember their 11-win season a couple years ago, they didn't come out of the gates that great. There was a couple crazy good games, I think, against maybe North Dakota or some, you know, mid-level teams that they snuck out with victories at the beginning of the season. So they haven't always come out of the gates hot. And with all the turnover on the offensive side and the coaching staff, I think it's a good spot to get Minnesota.
Yeah, so many coaches have said this, and I completely agree with this, is that early in the season, you win games by just simply not going out of your way to lose them, by fumbling the ball, by jumping off sides, just playing smart football, playing good special teams, things that have absolutely not been the calling card of Nebraska the last 3-4 years. And that's why we've lost some of these early games. I think of Northwestern last year. I think of the Illinois disaster 2 years ago. Don't beat yourself. You know, Minnesota is going to be good enough. You don't have to beat yourself. Just try to beat Minnesota. You know, make smart plays and special teams. Keep the penalties down to a minimum. Turnovers, got to hold on to the ball. You got to, you know, if the ball's in your hands, you got to catch it. You know, simple things like that. If the punt's coming to you and you're at the 2-yard line, you don't try to catch it. I mean, there's a lot of things that just game one, don't beat yourselves. And I hope defensively that we don't try to do anything too crazy against Minnesota. We need to tackle well. We need to line up. We need to be physical. We need to take blockers on. And then when we get some one-on-one tackling opportunities with all the contact they've been doing in practice and the tackling they've done, we need to tackle well. If we do that, I think we're going to be fine. I really do. I'm not guaranteeing a win. I think we'll be fine.
I think the general philosophy on offs this year is going to help our defense as well, because statistically our defense hasn't looked that good, but they've been a lot better than they've looked because our offense has kept putting them back on the field quickly in tough situations. And I think especially early in the season too, just the offensive mentality of running the ball more, because that's the thing, some of the best defenses in the country, well, they were having 15, 20 less snaps a game than our defense. So there's no way you're going to be able to rank that highly when you're having to play that many more snaps. And so I think just the offensive philosophy is going to help our defense look good. And I think our defense has good. So I think they're going to look really good here.
That is certainly the hope there. And it's playing complementary football. So on offense, taking clock, giving your defense some breaks, playing good special teams, get yourself set up with good field position, you know, win the first couple possessions just field position wise. That's a victory. If you're two possessions into the game and it's still 0-0, but you flipped the field, maybe they kicked off to you first and you were playing out of your 10 and 20 yard line, but by the third or fourth possession, now they're playing out of their 10, you know, yard line, and you flip the field. That's an early win, even if the points haven't been scored yet. Win the situations, win some of that, play complementary football at the right times, and stick with the run game. It's old school Nebraska football, but if you're getting 2 and 3 yards in the first quarter, if you can stick with it, you can be getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards by the third and the fourth quarter. Now, one of the ways you can stick with it is your defense has to keep you in the games. If you fall behind by 2-3 touchdowns, all of a sudden the ball gets thrown around all over the field. We've seen that a million times, and sometimes your physical game plan goes out the window. So defense has to keep you in it. Special teams has to play their role with giving you good field position. Offense has to be consistent and patient, continue to pound the ball. It's not rocket science, and I think sometimes we've had teams in the past that have tried to make it so much smarter, so much harder than it needs to be. We have some talent. The recruiting rankings would tell you that we've been the most talented recruited team in the West for the last 10 years, but none of that has seemed to matter because we get to games and we make mistakes and do things that we shouldn't do. I don't envision that being the issue under Rule. I really don't. He has a track record of not having that be the issue, of fixing those issues. I'm busting at the seams right now. I cannot wait to get this season started.
I agree with you. I'm just like nervous anticipation to see what we look like. And, you know, if we can beat Minnesota and beat Colorado and just at least split those, win at least one of those, I think is going to be big. But if you beat Minnesota, it's kind of look out. The Kool-Aid's going to be getting drank, and we're going to get on the Husker train for sure. With the offensive philosophy, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens at Wisconsin there. Just with their change in philosophy, I don't think their defense is going to look good as it has, because they lost a great defensive coordinator for one thing. But then, two, just the philosophy on offense to air raid it out. And this statistic that I wanted to bring up here about their quarterback – oh, I'm blanking on his name here.
Oh, the transfer from
Tanner Mordecai. Yeah, so Tanner Mordecai's touchdown to interception ratio is 76-23, which is incredible. However, if you look at just the games against a Power 5 opponents or bowl eligible teams or teams that are ranked. So, you know, the lower level teams, but if they're ranked. So against Power 5 bowl teams and ranked teams, his touchdown to interception ratio is 14-13. So it suffers significantly when he's playing a little bit stiffer competition, and he's always been in the South. Now he's going to go to Wisconsin, where you have to deal with some weather adversity as well. So I think we get them at a good schedule too. So that's another interesting thing we'll see how that plays out.
I think that's a great point you made there about the Wisconsin quarterback. The elements matter. We see that all the time. I'm an anti-SEC guy because the SEC has absolutely set themselves up with, you know, the best of all worlds. They play every game down south. They play neutral site games against teams that have to travel, you know, 10 hours, and they have to travel 10 minutes, and they play bowl games next to their home. I mean, everything is set up for success. And sometimes if you get teams out of their comfort zone, they have to play somewhere else. They play differently. No doubt a guy, like to your point, if he's playing against sub, you know, Power 5 conference competition, and he's playing down south, and now you're taking him out of that, and you're playing different competition. Yeah, you know, those stats can look very different. So we'll see. I'm interested in it, but yeah, take it away, man.
All right. So yeah, for the parting shot, I wanted to, take a shot at Colorado. Like I said, I did want to give props to Deion Sanders, Coach Prime. I'm fascinated to see what they do there. I'm kind of rooting them in a way, besides obviously the Husker one game, the next two games, the next 2 years, and then we'll see what happens after that. But one thing that makes Colorado fans like giddier than anything else, and this is why I think they're going to sell a lot of their tickets, is when they can feel smarter than Nebraska fans, and nothing makes them laugh like a little schoolgirl than mentioning that the N on the helmet stands for knowledge. You know, the N is for knowledge. And living out in Colorado, I hear that all the time, which I think is hilariously ironic because their mascot is a buffalo. And buffaloes don't actually aren't native to the Americas. That's an American bison. Buffaloes don't exist in the United States. So I think it's hilarious that they make fun of the N for knowledge, and they can't even get the, you know, it anatomically or animal atomically or whatever the term would be correct mascot for their team. And I can say animal-tomically correct because might as well own it, right? The N is for knowledge.
Well, there you go. I'll accept it. So, John Spurkman, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank you for emailing us and reaching out to us. It's been great to have you on here. I hope that we can meet up when we get out there to Colorado. And I just, that's the thing with the forum. I love having fans from all the different areas and different backgrounds. And I think you brought a great one too. Really appreciate it. Husker fans, Redcasters, I hope you enjoy it. We are just over 2 weeks away from the kickoff of the season. So I have one last forum to go after this. It's going to be when I'm in Minnesota with Vegas Jer, who we're going to be staying at. The Redcast will be staying with Vegas Jer, and they're going to be golfing the TPC. Some of the other guys, Skip and Rob and Dave, while Mac and I go drinking. So anyways, have a blast, Husker fans. It's almost there. Thank you so much, John. And until the next time, you could be the next one to join us on the forum.
A Herd at Sports Network production.